We begin the current daf Masechet Baba Kama daf Chav Dal. We begin on the bottom line of Chav Gimel Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we had a Mishnah that had a machlekes between Remei and Rebbe Yehuda regarding what makes a shur into a shur muad, and then what reverts back to a shur tam. So Rebbe Yehuda's opinion, which we explained in the previous daf, held a shur muad is only if it's in three different days, which is that it gored once, and then a second day, and then a third day, then it becomes a shur hamud, which we had a machlekes about in Rava, is at the third time or is at the fourth time. And to become a tam, it has to have 3 days that it saw an ox and didn't gore it, and then it reverts back to the status of a tam, of again being abnormal for it to gore, because it's not a goring type. Whereas Remeya holds that if it gores 3 times in 1 day, that's also going to make it into a mood, because it's not about 3 days, it's about 3 times. That would make it into a mood. Whereas a tam, he qualifies as if the children play with the ox and it doesn't gore, then it reverts back to the status of a tam. You see, it's not a goring type of an ox. So the Gemara continues to ask, as it explained Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, where we learned it out from Psukim, from the words Tmol Mitmol Shulshim. It's 3 different days. Remeir my time. What's the reason for Remeir that he holds that the din of Shur HaMuad, it acquires it even in 1 day, as long as it's 3 different times that it was gored and it was warned to say, look, your ox gored and the damage, and by doing that 3 times, it becomes a muad. So the Gemara said, the time that we learned the Braisa, Remeir says the reasoning for his opinion. As we continue at top of Chavdal and Aleph, he says, Richik Negichaisav, if it distance its gorings, meaning, yes, Rabbi Yehuda brought from Psukim that there's a halacha of mood being in 3 different days. Tmol, Mitmol, Shulshim, yesterday, the day before that. So on that, the Torah tells you that Chayiv, you're going to be Chayiv, you're going to be liable to become a mood. So Kiv Negichaisav Lekoshikin, so says Remeir, as a Koshikin, as a Kavochimer. For sure, if it's doing it in 1 day, it's really become a mood. It's really become this type of animal that went wild because it did it once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once in the evening. So for sure, says Remei, it's a kavo chaymer that it's going to become a shur hamud. Now, Amalei, they said to him, it's not a kavo chaymer. Zavut echiach, the halacha of a woman that emits this ziva from her body, thus becoming a certain type of a tumma called a zava, she'll disprove your kavo chaymer. How so? When she distances her witnessing emissions. In other words, if she has 3 different re'iyos of ziva, on 3 different days, the halacha is natan tameya, then she becomes tama as a zava, which is then she's tummy for 7 days, as the pasuk says, ki yazav zayv dama, yamim rabim, which the Bryson Teres Karinim and Parsha Mitzari expounds, what's yamim rabim? Yamim is itself already plural. Yama means 2, and Rabbah many days means 3, which is if she has for 3 days, 3 different days, then she becomes a Zava. Kivariyaseha, but if she had 3 different emissions on 1 day, the halacha is Tahira, she's Tahar from the Tumah of 7 days, she is going to be Tameh, but only in what's called a Shemer Siyam Keneged Yom, she has to watch to make sure she doesn't have Tumah the next day, then she becomes Tahar. If she does, then she has day 2, and then she sees the days after, then she has 3 days, then she becomes a Zava Gedailah, which is the Tumah of 7 days. But one thing that they tell Remeir is, what do you mean? That contradicts your Kavo Chaymer. You said if someone has a certain stringency with 3 days, for sure if it's a 1 day, it's and you pack it all in, for sure it's going to have that stringency. And that they say, no, Zava will disprove that, where it's only if she has it in 3 different days, but if it's all in the 1 day, she's not going to have the stringency of being Tumah for 7 days. So Amal Hens, Remeir responded to them. He says, no. The pasuk says in Mayikram, "Bezois tia tum asay bezoivay." This should be his tama, which is referring to the male counterpart, the zachar, when he has the tama of ziva. That this should be his tama when he has this zayv, means when it flows out of his body, this emission. Now, essentially, what Remeir is answering is that no, it is appropriate kavochaimer. But there's a gzeiros hakasav. The pasuk tells you from a specific, explicit drasha to say that you don't make the kavo chaymer by the situation of the zava. Why? What do you see from this pasuk? Tala hakasav as a zav bereis. We see that the Torah is delineating specifically that only by zav, by the male counterpart, that his halacha of becoming a zav to be tamei for 7 days depends on how many times he sees it. Because you see from this pasuk, it says the word zav flowing 3 times. And it says, Tumasai he. It's his tama, which sounds like that with these 3 emissions, that's when he becomes tame. Now, since it says the word v'zais, this is going to be his halacha, sounds like that there's no other area of halacha that has this halacha, which tells you that only Zavber is, the male counterpart, his depends on, not on days, but how many times he sees it. It could be even in the same day. But that tells you the esa zava b'yamim, to say that, however, the zava does not have the halacha by re'ias. By her, the drasha is telling you explicitly that she doesn't have that halacha. It's going to be only specifically regarding days. That's why you have a drasha. You're right. Normally, says Reb Meir, like I tested the kavochemer, if a zava is on three different days, like we learned from Yom Rabim, kavochemer if it was on one day. But the Torah is telling you explicitly that no, that the halacha of re'ias, of seeing emissions, meaning not dependent on days, but even if it's on the same day, is only zeis, only over here by the zav, but by the zava, there she doesn't have that halacha, and that's why there, when it's kirev re'iasahu, it's going to be Torah. Now the Gemara asks, "Mimai dahai v'zeis, lemu'uti zava mir'iyas." But from where do you know that when it says the word v'zeis, which yes, that's an exclusionary term, but how do you know that's coming to exclude the female counterpart from this halacha of re'iyos, meaning that it depends on how many times you see it, not on how many days? I can tell you that the exclusionary term is actually not to exclude the zava from re'iyos, but the zav from days. Meaning the Torah says by the female, it talks about three different days. By the male, it talks about three different times. So on that, the Gemara had said, oh, when it says v'zayis by the male, to which exclusionary term, it's saying that only he has re'ias, but not the female. Not the Gemara asks, how do you know that? Maybe that it's the other way around. Maybe it's coming to say that the halach of yamim only applies by the female, but the male doesn't have that. Zayis, by the male, it's only in re'ias, not in days. But maybe the female also has re'ias. And that the Gemara says, no, I'm a kra. The pasuk says, I'm a yikra. V'hazav es zayva. It says that the one who has this flowing of ziva, both this halacha of for the male and for the female. So says the Gemara, Makar Zachal in the Keva. The Pasuk is equating the male to the female, to tell you, Man the Keva Bayam, just like the female, her halacha of becoming tummy for 7 days is in three different days. Av Zachal Bayamim, so to the male, we'll have it in three different days. It won't only have the halacha for Re'ias, we'll have it even if it's on different days. No, so the Gemara says, wait a second, Velakash in the Keva and Lazacha, then why don't you make the Hekash the other way too? To compare the female to the male. And say, Mazach is just like the Torah tells you that the male is not dependent on days, it's even in the same day, it's as long as you have three different re'iyos, sightings. Afnekeva b'ri'iyos, maybe then the female should also, because you're comparing the nekeva to the zachar. So that the Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Hamid Rahman b'zayis, as we said before, but the Torah is excluding when it says b'zayis, to tell you that no, the halacha b'ri'iyos is only by zachar, not by nekeva. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Mari'isa, where did you see fit? In other words, we're definitely comparing the Zachar and the Nekeva as we brought in that Pasuk. So we can learn that one from the other. Yet there's also, which is a Riboy, which is inclusion, including one in the other's halachas. Then there's also an exclusionary term of the word V'zayis. So where did you see fit to say that we're including the Yamim of Nekeva to the Zachar, and from V'zayis excluding that the halacha of Re'iyos is only by Zachar, not by Nekeva? Maybe say the other way around. Maybe say we're comparing Nekeva to Zachar, meaning to say that just like Zachar is Re'iyah, so too by Nekeva. And Vezais is saying that the halach of Yamim only applies by Nekeva, not by Zachar. How do you know it's the other way around? So the Gemara says, Mistaber, it's logical to say that Koi b'Re'iyah is, that word Vezais, which is the exclusionary term, was written by the halacha of Re'iyah, because it's there in the parasha of the Zachar, which talks about Re'iyah, not by Yamim. So it makes sense to say, if it's talking about Re'iyah, is how many times you see it, not days, and is saying an exclusionary term, is memayit re'iyos. It's coming to exclude an halacha relating to re'iyos to say that, yes, it only applies by zachar, not by nekeva. Now, are you going to tell me that koi b're'iyos memayit yamim? That when it's toma re'iyos, it's excluding days? It's not logical to say that it's excluding a different area of halacha. So it wouldn't make sense to say that it's telling you that the halacha of a zachar is only by re'iyos, not by yamim, because that's not what the Pasuk is talking about. It's talking about Re'iyos. And it's excluding something from Re'iyos, it's excluding the Keva from Re'iyos. Don't tell me it's excluding the Zachar, which is there in the Parsha, that it's only by Re'iyos, and it's excluding Yamim, because that's not what it's talking about. It would be excluding a different halachic topic, which applies by the Keva, and therefore that's why we learned it that way, that the halacha of, which essentially is Remeir's answer, that he said, don't bring me a Raya from Zava, where only Rechik Re'iyosel is good, but Kirib is not to refute my Kavachim, and that he says is because there's a Xeris HaKasim that's telling you that the halacha of Re'iyos is only going to apply by the Zachar, meaning to say when it's in the same day. But the halacha of Yamim will be, that's the only way that in the cable will come to me when it's in 3 different days. But if not for the Gzeirah Sakazav, then of course we would say a Kavu Chayma. So the Gemara says, turn upon Linda Braisa, two other opinions. Meaning we just explained the two opinions of our Mishnah, of Remain and Behuda. Is it 3 different days or is it 3 different times? Linda Braisa, 2 different opinions. Ezehu Mu'ud, what makes a Shar into a Mu'ud? Kashi'idu by Shleisha Yamim. So again, and each one of these opinions is going to be half and half of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda's opinion in the opposite. So the first opinion says that a mu'ud is when it does it three days. And batam is sheyu atinikis mimashmashin by ve'in negech. A tam is when the children are playing with it and it's the ox is not getting angry and goring. That's when it becomes back to a tam, divrei Rabbi Yisi. Shimon Eimer says the other flip side of the opinions. Says mu'ud is called sheyidu by sholesh pa'amim. So the mu'ud is when it does it 3 times, which again is like the opinion of Rabbi Meir. But the Amr Shleisha Yamim lechazar buvad, which says like Rabbi Huda, says, but the halacha of saying that when is it 3 days to become a mu'ud doesn't need 3 days; it could be even 3 times to become back a tam. Is that if it already become a mu'ud and in 3 days it saw oxen and it didn't gore it, then it goes back to the halacha of tamas. Now Amr of Nachman Amr Rav Ad Bar Hava says has halacha Rabbi Huda. So he says we have 4 different tanoim, and he's going to say what the halacha is. He says the halacha is like Rabbi Huda bar Mishnah. Regarding 3 days, b'mu'ud. To become a mu'ud, it has to have gored 3 different days, not in 3 different times in 1 day. The reason being is, because Rabbi Yasi, as we just quoted before, agrees to him in its status of becoming a mu'ud, which is 3 different days. Now, have halacha k'rei meir b'tam, and halacha is like a meir regarding reverting back to tamus, to become a tam, that it's not have to be 3 days, but rather, as long as the children are playing with it and it doesn't gore, Shahar Rabbi Yisi might live, because in that area Rabbi Yisi agrees to him. Now that Amalei Reveler of Nachman, they asked, wait a second, why can't you say the other way either? Why can't you say halacha kriya meir b'mu'ud? Actually, halacha is like a meir regarding becoming a mu'ud that it doesn't have to be 3 days, it's even 3 times. Shahar Rabbi Shimon might live, because we quote Rabbi Shimon who agrees to him in that area. Halacha kriya b'hudah b'tam. And to the contrary, halacha is like a b'hudah by coming back a tam, that it's if it didn't gore it 3 different days, Shahar Rabbi Shimon might like, because in that Rabbi Shimon agrees to him. Why are you saying that? Oh, because there's a third opinion that agrees with him, and the third opinion agrees with him. That third opinion is Rabbi Yisi. You could have easily said it the other way around with the third opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So Malaysia of Nachman responded to me, says, I know Rabbi Yisi severely. You're right. I could have said either Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yisi, but I hold the Rabbi Yisi. The Rabbi Yisi in the Muki Imay, as is mentioned elsewhere in Shas, Rabbi Yisi always had his reasonings and his proofs with him. If he has an opinion, it's very logical that he has it correct. And therefore, as the third opinion, which is will tell us who the halacha is like, I'm going with Rabbi Yisi to identify what will make it a mu'ud and what will make it a tam. Now the Gemara asks Ibailo the following question, fundamental principle in this whole understanding of a shur becoming a shur hamu'ud. Shleicha yam diktani, this that we learned, which was the opinion of Rabbi Huda, which we said the halacha is like, regarding becoming a mu'ud, it has to have gored in 3 different days. So that we understand, not like Rabbi Meir said 3 different times, it has to be 3 different days. Then it does, it becomes a shur hamu'ud, has to pay nezek shalom, min aliyah, not just from the ox itself, even from what you have at home. It becomes a shur hamu'ud, it becomes, so to speak, normal for the animal to have done that, maybe mechayim nezek shalom. So the question is, what is the mechanics of becoming a shur hamu'ud? Is it li'udei tura? Is it that the ox has to become a mu'ud? Which means to say is that when it gored 3 times and we're identifying that, we're saying that, look, this ox is not like a regular ox. A regular ox, it's mishunah, it's abnormal for it to gore. This one, it's very normal. It's done it already 3 times. Is that what you need the yiyud for? Now, what that would be excluding is if, let's say, Remeir's opinion, if it did it in 1 day, that is what it's saying, no, it has to be 3 days, because if it doesn't 1 day, that doesn't identify. Maybe it had a crazy day, maybe this day, who knows, something happened to the ox, went wild, but it wouldn't become a shur hamu'ud unless it does it 3 different days. Or do you say that the reason why the Torah says it has to be 3 different days is not because of the ox, it's because the mu'ud, what it does is it's a liability now for the owner. For him, he has to say, wait a second, I didn't know anything. You're telling me it gored 3 times in 1 day? But it's the first I'm hearing of it. The reason why you need to have for the yiyud, for the testimonials and the identification of this ox goring 3 different times on 3 different days, is so that now the owner had forewarning. He heard about it 1 day. They said, look, your ox gored, caused damage. Got it. Second day, got it. Third day, now it became a shor mu'ud, but it's not for the shor. Moreover, it's for the 3 days you need it because of the owner, so that the owner knows about it, and he had each day time to become aware and put in safeguards. That's why it has to be 3 different days. So which one is it? Liyudi Turu or Liyudi Gav? So the Imas Lamay Nafkamina, what's the difference? Who cares? Either way, the Torah tells you it has to be on 3 different days that the ox gored to become a shor mu'ud. So the Imas says there is a difference. The Asu Tlosa Kiti Sahadi Bechad Yema. You could have the following case. When 3 groups of witnesses come on one day, now they're each identifying that it gored on a different day. 6 people come in, 3 pairs of witnesses. They come into court and they bring in the defendant. They say, look, the first group gets up and say, we saw on Sunday. Second group says, we saw on Monday. Third group says, we saw on Tuesday. Why would that be different? Because E-Amrit, if you say that the only reason why the Torah says you require 3 days is li'udei tura, is because we want to identify that this ox becomes an ox that's a gorer, meaning which excludes only kiruv nekechesan. If it does it one day, okay, even though it did it 3 times, it won't necessarily make this into a shor mu'ud. Now, if that would be the case, then miyayid. So if all these 3 pairs of witnesses come in one day, they made this into a shor mu'ud because ultimately it gored on 3 different days. We see it wasn't just a 1 day, so that would make it into a shor mu'ud. But if you say the requirement of why it has to be 3 different days is not because of the shor per se, maybe the shor per se could even be on 1 day. But the reason why we need 3 different days is because I'm the owner. You're making me now b'chayv nezik shalom. You tell me it's something I should have been aware about. You tell me one time, I know it happened 3 times in 1 day, but it's just 1 day. That's when you need to have 3 different days. Then loy miyayid, in such a case, it wouldn't become a shor mu'ud. Because meima amma, the owner could say, what? Hashtahud become a sadabi. It's the first that I'm hearing about. It's only now that they're testifying against me. They all came in 1 day. And the Torah says 3 days. You got to give me time. Tell me today. Tell me tomorrow. Each day is independent, then I can become aware of it. Then I'm going to be chayv nezek shalom. If you all come in 1 day, that doesn't make me into an owner of a shor mu'ud. So says the Gemara, what's the reasoning, and therefore thus this halachic ramification? Is it liyudi tura for the ox, and then it would be, or liyudi gavra, and then it wouldn't, because it has to be 3 different days, even regarding the warning, the coming to court part, not just the goring part. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in there from the following braisa. Brisa says, "Ein hashor nasa mu'ud." The ox cannot become a shor hamu'ud, actually, yudubay b'fnei bailam u'b'fnei bezin, until the witnesses testify in front of the owner and in front of the court. Which some girsoyes have the words shenema v'huud bebalav, like it says in the pasuk, where it was testified by the owners. Which, as Rashi points out, the testimonial testifying is only in court. So therefore, you see from the pasuk that v'huud bebalav, and thus it has to be in front of court. Therefore, says the Braisa, let's say he idu by bifnei bezin b'shalay bifnei bailam. Let's say the witnesses come in front of the court, but the defendant, the owner of the ox, wasn't there. Or bifnei bailam b'shalay bifnei bezin, or they testified to the owner, but it's not in court. Then eina nasamud, that doesn't fit into the gzeis akasav. It does not become a shor hamu'ud. Achi idu by bifnei bezin bifnei bailam, until they testify in front of the owner and in front of the court. And then if it happens 3 times, then it becomes a shor hamu'ud. Now the Braisa continues and says, if let's say 2 witnesses testify regarding the first time, and 2 people testify regarding the second time, and 3 witnesses testify regarding the third time, so what you have over here is 3 different pairs of witnesses. What that means to say, what is it significant that they're 3 different pairs? Is if let's say 1 of the 3 pairs are voided, so the other 2 are not voided, and whichever one for those other 2 that are still left, the owner will have to pay chatz nezik to that victim, to the one who got damaged. Now, and let's say neither of those 3 get voided. So then, that's 3 different times. There's 3 different testimonials. And then the shor becomes a shor hamu'ud. Now, moreover, says the Braisa, but v'hein edus achos lahazama. They are 1 set of witnesses. All these 3 different pairs are 1 set of witnesses regarding halachas of hazama. Hazama is halacha, which is, if let's say witnesses testify regarding someone, let's say that he damaged someone for $100. Then another pair of witnesses come and say, how could you, the first pair of witnesses, testify that that's what happened on that day when you claim to have seen that you were with us somewhere else? And how could you testify? So the Torah says then they actually have to pay what they had claimed to be witnesses that guy had to pay. They have to now pay that amount. That's the punishment, the penalty of Hazama. So in this case, the Braisa is saying that these 3 pair of witnesses are all considered one pair of witnesses for Hazama. Why? Because it's through the three of them that the Shar is becoming a Shar HaMu'id. So therefore, in regards to the halacha of Mu'id, they're all considered one big set of witnesses. Now, therefore, Nimtzis Kat Rishayna Zememis. Let's say there's three different pairs. One pair says, I saw on Sunday your ox gored. And one on Monday says, I saw your gored. A third pair says, on Tuesday I saw your ox gored. Now, let's say one pair of witnesses comes along and goes to the first pair and says, wait a second. How could you have said you saw on Sunday? You with us there in that place at that time. How could you have seen? So they're obviously voided. And then regarding what they wanted to make him liable for Chatzi Nezik, that they're independent on that, and that they'll have the halacha of Hazama. But Harikan Shtei Idiots. So there's still two other pairs of witnesses left, the other two. Now, so therefore the halacha is Vahu Pater. So now the owner is exempt from paying for, there's different Kisoyas and Rashi, either the third or the fourth, which depends on when is it that the ox becomes a Shar HaMu'id. But either one, when it becomes a Shar HaMu'id, the owner is not going to have to pay anymore Nezik Shalom, which would have been if we would have had all these three pairs, because one of them is voided, he only has to pay Chatzi Nezik. Now, moreover, Vehain, those witnesses that were Zaymimim, are Peturim. They're exempt from paying for this amount of the third goring. In other words, even though that they had, with their testimony, they were causing the mazik to pay nezik shalom, they're going to be exempt. Why? Because it's not one pair of witnesses that causes the nezik shalom. It's only with the culmination, the summation of all three pairs of witnesses, that now you have three times, now you're going to have to pay nezik shalom. When one of them gets huzam, they themselves weren't causing nezik shalom, because there's still other two pairs which weren't huzam yet, and hazam is only if all of them are yizumu, all of them have to have said you couldn't have been there, you were with us. Since here only one pair has hazama done to them, so regarding the halacha of nezik shalom, they're not going to have to pay that amount of hazama. Now, let's say nimtzis kat shnei zememes. Let's say not only was the first pair proven to have not been there, but let's say then they proved that the second pair of witnesses were also not able to be there. Harikan eidus achas, but still there's one more pair left that was not huzam yet. So therefore, v'hu pater v'hem peturim. So therefore, the owner of the ox, he's exempt from paying nezik shalom, because ultimately now, for sure, there's no three pairs of witnesses. It's actually only one pair left that claims to have seen his ox ever damaged. And the other two pairs who wore huzam are also going to be exempt from paying to pay the amount of nezik shalom that they tried having this guy be chayvin, because they weren't all huzam. There's still one pair of witnesses. Now, but says the Brisa, Nimtzis kat shlishis ememes. But let's say now you have all three pairs that are found to be huzam, all six people, three independent pairs of witnesses, were shown to have lied that they saw this because they weren't even there on that day. Now the halach is kulin chayavin. Now all of them are going to have to share in the responsibility of paying for the other half of the chatzi nezik, meaning which would have made it into the nezik shalom, where all of them share in that and making it into a shar hamud. Now, of course, that part of the first half of the Chatzin Nezik, the part of the Thomas of the animal, the other two pairs of witnesses who were the one who testified it are going to have to pay for that. I mean, each one that they independently were trying to do, each pair was being Mechayev Chatzin Nezik. Each one has the Hazama on that by themselves. But it's regarding the culmination of all of them that were being Mechayev Nezik Shalom, it's regarding that extra half that now that all of them are huzam, they're going to have to share into that responsibility, that liability of that other half, the chatzi nezek. And says the pasuk, it says the gemara of al-zeh nemetz regarding this, and the pasuk devarim says, fasisim lekasha zam and megamer, like it says there in the pasuk, that you're going to do to them like they wanted to do to the defendant, which is that they wanted him to pay nezek shalom. Now that they're all huzam, they all have to share now in the nezek shalom. That's the brisa. Says the gemara, e amrit liyuditura, going back to our question, if you're going to say that the halacha requiring 3 days is because we need to make the Shar into Shar HaMu'id. If it doesn't in one day, had a crazy day, it gored three times, that's not making the Shar HaMu'id. Torah tells you it has to be three different days. If that's what the requirement's for the ox, but regarding the person, the owner, it would be enough essentially even on one day. It's just because the Shar doesn't become a Mu'id on one day. It has to have three different days. Now, if that's the case, so then we could explain that the case that the Bryce is talking about is when all three pair of witnesses came on one day. What does that mean? Why would it all come on one day? Because the third victim, he went and brought all three pairs of witnesses to testify regarding the 3 days. Why is he doing that? because he's saying, which again, according to the Gir said, that Rashi says, is because then he'll get Nezik Shalom. He's a victim. Say, who's this guy who has an ox goring? I can't believe it. No one ever took him to court. I'm going to get witnesses that said he gored first time, second time, third time, and not only is he going to pay me for half the damages like a Sher Tam, he's going to pay me Nezik Shalom. Now, if that would be the case, then Shaper. Then it would make sense how to explain the Braisa. In other words, you can explain, as the Braisa had said, that even the first pair of witnesses are had a portion in the liability of making the shir into shir hamud. Like we said, that when they're all huzim, they're all going to have to shir in the fact that now they wanted to make it liable for nezik shalom. Why is that? Because there's indicating factors to indicate that they all were trying to make, all three pairs of witnesses, to make this owner of the ox into an owner of a shir hamud. Why? Because they can't say, wait a second, we were just trying to make him liable for chatzi nezik. This ox was never a shir hamud. We're the first guys who saw him, his ox goring someone. That just makes him the chatzi nezik. We didn't want to intend to make him into a mood. You're making now. Yes, we lied. We lied. We were never there. There's hazama. We got to pay, but only paying chatzi nezik. We didn't intend to make him into a shir hamud to say that we're liable for that. That they can't say, because obviously they knew about the other pair of witnesses too. Because who is the claimant? Who's bringing them, the plaintiff, bringing them to court? The third victim is bringing them. What does he have to do with someone else's oxen that were gored for them to testify? Obviously, if he's bringing you guys, it's because he wants you to testify, not that that guy could get his chatzi nezik and the second guy get his chatzi nezik, it's because he wants to get nezik shalom. So you're all coming together. So that would make sense if you say it's li'udei tura. So as we explained it before, the difference that you could have, if the ox did on three different days, that will make it into shir hamud, even though the owner's only warned on one day. We said that's not the significant fact, it's li'udei tura. So you can have the halacha, the understanding of this braisa, when all three pairs of witnesses sheared into the fact of trying to make this shir into shir hamud, because they all came in the same day. We're all coming together. And who's bringing us? The third victim. Why are you guys coming? Because you want to make it into hamud so he could collect nezik shalom. Now, however, as Gemara continues, Amud Beis, Eli'i Amud li'udei gavra, but if you say the other side of the question, that the reason why you need to have three different days is because the owner says, what, you guys come in one day, and suddenly from one second to the next, I'm owner of a shir tam to a shir hamud, I never knew anything about this, how can you make me liable for a nezik shalom? No, I have to have it on three different days, which means to say that every single goring has to be testified on that day, and hence you can never have an ox become a shir hamud only for three different days. Then the question becomes, let the first pair of witnesses say, Anan mihav yadina, did we know the Basa Shleisha Yemi that after 3 days, Asu Hani mi'adilei, that these other witnesses would come and make the Shur into Shur Amud? In other words, how does the halacha, the Braisa, make sense that when they're huzam, all three pairs of witnesses, that now they're all sharing in the reliability of the other half of the Nezik, which was making it to Nezik Shalom, because they all testified and they all lied, and thus they all had made him liable for Nezik Shalom. So what do you want from me? I didn't know anything about that. But I could not have known about it, because if you say Liyudi Gavra, which means to say that I had to testify on Sunday. And that's the first time this ox ever gored. Yes, I lied. I was never there, but I lied about Chatzin Nezik. Now, another pair of witnesses came Monday. They also lied. Another one came on Tuesday, they also lied. Now, the guys who came on Tuesday, they pushed it over the top. They made it into a shram, we would make him Nezik Shalom. So what do you want from us? Yes, because we testified falsely, that was the first wrong, but that was never our intention. We never did that, which Hazam is only Kasha Zamim Las Lachab, when what we had intended to do. We never intended to do that. I could not have known. How could I have known that on Monday and a Tuesday, these other guys are going to come and make up these testimonies? If you say it was on the same day, we all came together, and the third guy's bringing us, which is if you say Le'ude Tura, fine, that's obviously what I'm trying to do. But if you say Le'ude Gavra, it can't be on the same day, then what do you want from the guy to say that he's liable for the mood part of Nezik Shalom? So that the Gemara says, Amr Avashi, Avashi said, Amrit L'Shmaite Kamed Rav Kahana. I said over this teaching, in front of Rav Kahana, which seemingly proves from this braisa that the halacha of 3 days is Le'ude Tura, not Le'ude Gavra. And he said back to me, what do you mean? And according to the option that says that the 3 days is to make the shur into a shur hamud, you think, according to that interpretation, the braisa does sit well? And that is because, although yes, the first witnesses, obviously, why are they coming when the third victim, the third plaintiff is bringing them, why are these guys coming who has nothing to do with his shur? Obviously, it's because they know that the third victim doesn't care about collecting for those first two guys. Rather, it's because he wants that they should make the Shur and the Shramud that he could collect Nezek Shalom. Fine. Regarding that, you worked it out for the Mandam Aliyudei Turah. But the problem is, the last pair of witnesses that he says, you're the guys who saw that guy's ox, gore my ox, right? This is the third victim telling these witnesses. So he needs them, and when they come to court, he needs them not just for Nezek Shalom, the first two pair of witnesses, obviously that's what they're coming to do. Because what are you doing here? He didn't gore that guy's ox in the first two times. You're obviously coming because you want to make it into a mood to make Nezek Shalom. But the third pair of witnesses, they could just be coming for the actual damage of Tam, even if there are no other witnesses on any other oxen for Chatzi Nezek. So therefore, asks Rav Kahana, V'lemer hanach basroi, but then the last pair of witnesses could say that we weren't coming to make the oxen to Shramud. Yes, we lied. We were huzam. We got to pay Chatzi Nezek. But not Nezek Shalom. Anan Minoya Dina, the third pair of witnesses could say, how do we have to know the Chol Dekoy Beidina, that whoever comes to court, do you ever go to court? There's a lot of people over there. How should we know that whoever's coming there in court, Lissa Udi Batur Kasa, that they're coming to testify regarding this guy's ox? Anan Lichayuva Gavra Pal Gunizkas, you know, we were coming only to make this guy liable for half the damages. We asked Rav Kahana, how do you even understand the Kornli Ude Tura? It's still, how do you understand? The third pair of witnesses should not be chayev, as the Bryce said, that they're all going to be chayev if they were huzam on the Nezek Shalom, on the Yehudei part. But how are we supposed to know that? We didn't know. We thought we'd just testify. Actually, up until that date, no one had ever testified regarding this guy's ox. We thought we'd be mechayev and mechatzin Nezek. Were we to know that this guy brought two other pairs of witnesses testifying on two previous times that thus, by our testifying, would make it into Nezek Shalom? We didn't know. So therefore, why even according to Yehudei Turah, are they going to be chayev, the third pair of witnesses, on the Nezek Shalom part? So the Gemara has three answers for that question for Rav Kahana. No. That truthfully, according to Mandam Yehudei Turah, it does work out. And it's talking about, like we said before, if they all came on one day. Now, but then you ask that, how does the third pair of witnesses necessarily know? It's because the Kemaram Ziramuzi, it's talking about where the first pair of witnesses signaled for the third pair of witnesses, now it's your turn to testify. Now, obviously, what that means to say is that the later pair of witnesses were intending, and they knew about the first pair of witnesses too, and they were intending to say in their own cahoots, and they all knew about it, that we're going to testify. They knew when they're testifying, it's going to make him into a mood of a Nezek Shalom, because they're the third, they're the last straw, they're the last nail in the coffin. They knew that they're doing that because they saw that they were signaling with the first pair of witnesses. That's why they're all going to be chayev for the mood part. Or a second approach, Rav Ashi, I mean, he says that, as the Gemara had said before, according to Mandam Liyudei Turah, it makes sense. Because it's Toma Kishabo Ritzufim, when they come together consecutively, one after another, where obviously they're all filing in, they all know about each other. It's not like just, oh, how am I supposed to know? Oh, those guys are witnesses, how am I supposed to know? No, you all came in together, and therefore, again, that's an indicator. Third pair of witnesses knew about it. First pair of witnesses for sure is coming from Mood, because why are they coming with the third victim? Nothing to help the first two victims. Obviously, they're all coming and knowing about and intending, and they were lying, which they were Huzam, for the purpose of making in the Mood for Nezek Shalom. That's why they all share in that liability. Third approach, Ravinam, he says that B'makirin Bal Hashar, the reason why the third pair of witnesses are going to be liable is because they only recognize the owner of the ox, the E'makirin Es Hashar, and they don't even recognize the ox itself. In other words, it has to be that their intention was to make this owner of the ox the owner of a Shur HaMu'ud. Why? Because they knew about the original witnesses. And the reason being is because if it was for Chatzi Nezek, since they don't recognize the ox itself, which the Mefarshim explained how does the case work, talking about it could be at a certain point that there was only one ox owned by this owner, and they know that this was the ox that was gored, that already gored two times, just now that he bought more oxen, they don't know which one was that one, but they knew that it was only one. So it's obviously, if they don't recognize the ox itself, and they're testifying, must be that they're testifying to make it into a Shramud. Why? Because if they were testifying as, no, we didn't know about the other ones, we're only testifying, we thought it was a tam, to be chayv chatzinezik, it can't be, because halacha of a tam paying chatzinezik only megufay, from the mazik itself, if you don't know which is the ox, that doesn't help at all. If you're making it into a mood because you obviously know about the first two witnesses and that's why you're testifying saying, we know you had one ox. We don't know which one it is right now. because you bought a whole bunch of oxen now. But you definitely had a shard that became a sharamud, and therefore you have to pay this victim, the third, fourth victim, Nezik Shalim. It has to be, if they're testifying in that way, that it's for Liyude and not for Thomas. How? Maybe they could say, we didn't know. We thought it's the one time. It can't be, because if you're saying yourself you don't know which is the ox, that therefore it says that it's impossible for it to be a shard tam, because the shard tam only collects from the ox itself, and you don't even know which one it is, obviously, because you were saying that it's a Nezik Shalom case, which collects from the owner itself. Now, that only works out, according to Rashi's opinion of the Gemara, these three approaches, if you say Liyude Tura. But according to Mandam, Liyude Gavra, that wouldn't work out. Because the first witnesses could always say, did we know that after 3 days these other witnesses are going to come and testify? We were just testifying regarding Chatzi Nezik. Because again, according to that opinion of Yehudi Gavra, it has to be on 3 different days. And therefore, how could the first guys know, at least they could claim, that 2 other witnesses are going to come at later points of time? Now, moreover, you can't use either this third approach of the Gemara to say that when they said we don't recognize the Shar, and therefore if they're saying testimony, it's obviously Yehudi. It's obviously because of mu'ud, which would be collectible from the person, not from the ox itself, because how could that be? How could they know that it's going to end up goring 2 and 3 times to say that they're coming to claim and say that when it does, it's going to be chayv nezek shalom? They don't know that it's ever going to happen. How could they make such a testimony? And therefore, the Gemara concludes, according to the interpretation of Rashi, with that from the Brayse, you see le'udei tura, and not Liyudei Gavra, and the Gemara has 3 different approaches, how we know for sure that the third pair of witnesses will also testify regarding the mu'ud part, thus also sharing the liability of the Nezik Shalom. Now, but the Gemara asks, regarding this third answer, but then how do they make this shar into shar mu'ud if they don't recognize which is the ox? How do you know then to make it into the shar mu'ud? What is the responsibility? What is the liability of the owner if you don't know which one it is? So the Gemara says, the Amri, because they say, Tura nagchana islach, bivakrach. We don't know which one it is, you're right. But you have a gore. We know that there was this one ox. We can't identify it. But you have this gore in your cattle. Ibayilach lintura lukuli bakrach. So you got to watch your whole flock. You're saying, okay, you told me that I have a shar nagach. I have an ox that gored and it's a shar mu'ud. So tell me which one it is. I'll be careful now. I know I'm going to be chayav nezek shalom now. They say, look, we don't know which one it is. But we're testifying that we know for sure there was one that was gored 3 times. And then, yes, you're going to be chayav nezek shalom. You don't know which one it is? Fine, you got to watch all of it. That's where, if you hold liyudei tura, you got a shar hamud on your hands. And therefore, you're going to have to be responsible for that one. You don't know which one it is? So fine, you got to watch all of them. And the same type of watching you would do for the one that is a shar hamud. Nothing where it continues, which will relate to the halacha of our Mishnah, Ibayluhu, the following question. Hameshasek kalbe shel chaver b'chaver. Someone sicks if he incites a dog of his friend on a different friend. In other words, if there's a guy called Levi who takes Reuven's dog and incites it onto Shimon, and then that dog bites Shimon, mahu, what's the halacha? So the Gemara explains. Meshasa vadei pater. The inciter is definitely exempt because that's what's called grama b'nizakin. It's just a cause. Yes, he caused it, but he didn't do it himself. That's not chayv b'dinei adam. It's not going to have any liability in court. The question is bal kelavmai. What's the halacha with the owner of the dog itself? Mi amin in matzi amalei, do we say that the owner of the dog could say, ana maya vidnale? What did I do to him? My dog didn't damage. It's this guy. He almost used my dog as like his stick. He incited the dog. So again, he's not going to be chayv because he's a grama, but what do you want from me? It's not my liability, although it's like Karen, which is kavanos lahazig, but I don't have that responsibility because my dog wouldn't have done it without being incited. Or maybe we tell him that no. Kiven diyadat b'kalbach. Since you know regarding your dog, that if someone incites it, it gets incited and it will harm. You shouldn't have left it around in a situation where it could have been incited to then go ahead and harm someone else, and therefore that is your liability. So Amr Bezeir Toshmar, Reb Zeir says we could prove this from the halacha of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, but Tam, when does the Shor HaMu'ud revert back to the state of being a Tam, meaning that it's unexpected for this ox to do it, and then it's only going to be Chayv Chatzin Nezik? That was the opinion of a mayor, which if the children play with it and it doesn't gore, you see it's not a gore type, and therefore it's gonna go back to being a tam. Now the inference says Reb Zeira, is honegeach. But let's say if the ox would gore another ox, if the children are playing with it, thus getting it angry and then harming another ox, sounds like they're chayiv. That even though it was incited by the kids, then the animal would not be a tam, and it would be chayiv, where even nezek shalom. So seemingly you see that the balakelev is chayiv, even though the ox itself wouldn't have done it, but if it's incited, it is going to be chayiv. That Amabaya says, no, it's not a riot. Mikatani noga chayiv, did we say in the Mishnah that if the children play with it, that then if it gores, then the owner of the ox is going to be chayiv? No. Dilma ha-nogach le-habitam. Maybe it's only if the ox does go when the children are playing with it, that it's just not going to revert back to being a tam. But Rabahina Gich le-machayiv, it doesn't tell us that regarding that goring, it's going to be liable. In other words, this in the Mishnah said that if it doesn't gore, it's saying that if it doesn't gore, it's going to be back a tam. But if it gores, it will not be back at time. It will stay as a mood. But no one said that for that time itself, you're going to be chayiv. Because, yes, it tells us it's definitely not back at that time. But it doesn't mean either that you're going to be chayiv at that time. Because ultimately, someone else has had incited it. And therefore, it's not going to be chayiv. Possibly, maybe, it's not responsibility because someone else had caused it. So therefore, there's no raya. So Gemara says, Tashem, let's bring a raya from Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin. Similarly, it says, Shisa by Esakelev. If someone incites a dog on somebody, or Shisa by Nachash, or incites a snake on somebody, so Pater, so he's exempt. So, says the Gemara, my love, isn't this what the Mishnah Sanhedrin is saying? It's Pater Mishasa. When it's saying in the singular, he's exempt, who's exempt? The one who incites. Because, like we said, it's only a grumma. But, Vachayev, Balkelev, it sounds like, but the owner of the dog, the owner of the snake, will be liable. So you see that even though it was incited, that is liability for the owner. I think when it says loy, no, ema pater af mishasa. When it's saying that he's exempt, is no, we know that the owner of the dog is exempt because it's not my responsibility. He incited. It's just saying that even the insider is going to be exempt. That's what we said in the singular because the chiddush regarding him because of grama ben izakin. Now, so therefore there's no raya. But Amar Rav, he says, im timtzalayim, if you will take that option and say, hamishasa kabla shel chaver bechaver chayiv, that if someone incites someone else's dog on someone else, that we'll say that maybe the owner of the dog is going to be liable. We didn't prove it, but let's say you say that. Even so, says Rava, shisahu ba'atzmai, if let's say the dog bites the insider himself, he incites it on himself, he goes, here, doggy, doggy, and the dog bites him, then pater, then the owner of the dog is going to be exempt. Even though you say when it's incited, it's chayiv, in this case, the owner of the dog will be exempt. My time, what's the reason? Because of what's called kalamishana, whoever does something abnormal. Now, someone else does something abnormal to the one who himself did something abnormal, is pater is going to be exempt. So here, where the guy is messing around with the dog, he's doing something abnormal. Now the dog who's doing Karen, which is also abnormal, is going to be exempt. So though generally Karen would be chayiv, and there would be a liability even if it's incited. But when you do it on the guy himself who incited, who he's doing the abnormal thing, that's called a mashana ba'ach v'shinaba, is going to be patra. Now, Amalei Rapapa l'Rava, so Rapapa said to Rava, regarding this halacha that he just said, he said, it mishmed Rish Lakish kabaseich. We learned a halacha in the name of Rish Lakish, just like you. Because the Amr Shlokesh, seemingly Rish Lokesh had the same halacha like you. He said, Shtei paris b'shusar rabim. If there's two cows in the public domain, achas revutza v'achas malachas, one is laying down in the middle of the street, which is not supposed to do. Another one is walking, which is what regular cows do. Ubata mahalachas b'revutza. And then the one that's walking kicks the one that's laying over there. Petura, the owner of the cow that was walking is going to be exempt. Because the one that's laying, there shouldn't have been laying over there. And therefore, b'chol mishana, whoever does something abnormal, meaning the animal that's laying there on the ground, or bracha b'shinabai, and then another animal does something abnormal, meaning kicking, which is Karen, which is Mishuna, is going to be pater. That's what the Shlokesh says. Whereas Revutza b'malach is chayev. However, if the one who's laying kicks the one who's walking, then he's going to be chayev, because the one who's walking didn't do anything abnormal, so therefore the owner of the one who's laying will be chayev for Karen, for the kamanos lahasik, to kick the one that was walking by. But one thing says the Papa, we see like Rish Lakish, same like you, of this Kalamashana Ba'ach Vashinda Ba'is Pater. Now, Amalei, actually, Rav responded to Rav Papa, he says, no. No, Ba'hi Chiyuv Mechayavna. Actually, that case of Rish Lakish, that he says it's Pater, I actually would hold the owner of the animal that was walking that kicked the one laying there would be liable. Why? Because Aminlei, we tell to the owner of the one who was walking that kicked, Ki Islach Rishu, so when do you have permission, L'skuye Yelai, to step on me? Yes, that's called Mashana Ba'acha Vashinabai is Pata, because this guy's doing something abnormal. We could do something abnormal. We could keep on walking and step on him. Lavuti be less lachrishusa, but to kick me, that you have no permission to do. In other words, that's not something you could continue doing your things, and if I'm laying there, that's not your liability. You could step on me and then you'll be Pater. But to purposefully come and kick, which for no reason, that you're not exempt. So therefore, says Rava, that's going to be different than the case over here where if you're inside in the dog and the dog bites you, why'd you do mess with my dog? And therefore, if it's going to bite you, I'm going to be exempt. That's normative for what was caused. That's so too if, let's say, the animal is laying there and the animal walks in it, yes, that was caused. But to do something which is not directly related and you're just randomly kicking the one that's laying there, that you don't have that heter. And therefore, says Rava, actually, in that case, I wouldn't say like Rish Lakish, and I would say the owner of the cow that kicks would be chayes. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayos, which are all explaining that Mishnah from the first paragraph of Tetzvav Mebeis, which spoke about the Chamisha Mu'adin, the five types of Mu'adin, which one of them was, which is actually Machlekes, which our Mishnah is going to bring, Shur HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik Ketzan. How do you have a Shur of Karen, which is Tam, which damages, but if it damages in the domain of the Nizik, of the damaged party itself, what's that case would be talking about that you'd be chayv nezik sham that would be considered mu'ud? Says the Mishnah, if the animal is nogach, if it gores with its horns, or nogach, or if it damages with its body, or noshach, or if it bites, or rabbits, or if it lays on something, breaking the kalim, or bodov, or it kicks, which all of these are derivatives of the avamazik of Karen, when it gorns with its horns. So if it does it, b'shus haram in the public domain, simashal mechatzi nezik, it only pays as a Karen tam half the damages. Now, b'shus ha-nizik, if it does it in the domain of the nizik, so then we have a machlekes. Reb Tarfon Oimer, nezik shalom, he says it gets upgraded to the liability of nezik shalom. The chacham Oimer, nezik chatzin nezik, say no, just like b'shus haram, it's still going to be half the damages until it becomes a sharmud. Now, Amalei Reb Tarfon said to the chachamim, to prove his point that it's nezik shalom, he says, Uma b'mokim shahokil ala shein v'ala regel, b'shus harabim. Now, if regarding shein regel, we were lenient regarding when it eats something or when it walks on something, thus breaking something in the public domain. Shuhupater, we're regarding Shein HaRegel, they're totally exempt. Because as the Pasuk says regarding Shein HaRegel, Ubir b'steyachar, it's only if it consumes it in the Nizik's domain. And yet, Hichmar, Alein, Mershus, and Nizik, and they were stringent regarding Shein HaRegel. In the Nizik's domain, L'sham Nizik, Sham to pay the full amount of damages, even though that in Mershus HaRam, they're totally exempt. So says Rav Tarfon, so Malkum Shahichmer ala Karen. So in this place where you were stringent regarding Karen, regarding goring, Bishrus Sarab in the public domain Lisham Chatzinazik, which is more severe than Shane Regal, which is Potter, there you have Chatzinazik. Ainadin says Rotarfin isn't a Kalbochimer, Shanachma Allah, Bishrus and Nizik Lisham Nezik Shalom, that for sure in the Nizik's domain you should be stringent and make it pay Nezik Shalom, because it similarly is a Kalbochimer from Shane Regal. If they're exempt in Rishus Rab, and Rishus and Nizik, the Chayiv Nezik Shalom, Karen, which is Chayiv Chazin Nezik, isn't it a Kabbal Chayim, should be Chayiv Nezik Shalom, Rishus and Nezik? So Amr Loi, the Chacham responded to him, says, yes, it's a Kabbal Chayim, but Dayoy Lovoy, which is always called the principle of Dayoy, which means it's enough. It suffices to be that what you're trying to bring, the Halach of Karen and the Rishus and Nezik, that Min Hadin, from what you're bringing it from, Li is Kenidin, that it should be like that thing that you're learning it out from. In other words, where do you learn your Kavochemer from? From Karen B'Shus HaRabim, where you said that if Karen, which in the B'Shus HaRabim, was more stringent, isn't it a Kavochemer that we should be stringent on Karen and B'Shus HaNizik? So on that they say to him, look, Ma B'Shus HaRabim Chatzin Nezik, you're learning out from the stringency of Karen B'Shus HaRabim. Now, what do we find that pays in B'Shus HaRabim? Chatzin Nezik. So Af B'Shus HaNizik Chatzin Nezik. So too in the B'Shus HaNizik, it's going to be Chatzin Nezik, because that's where you're learning out the Kavochemer from. But enough to learn out what you're learning out from, which is Chatzin Nezik. You can't make it more than what you're learning out from to go up from Chatzin Nezik, Nezik Shalom. So Amal Hems Reb Tarfon said to them, no, Af Ani, I also, as a continued type of Chafei Menals, Loi Odin Karen Mi Karen. Not like as we had explained before, that I'm learning out Karen and Rishus and Nizik from Karen and Rishus and Rabim, which yes, then of course I wouldn't be able to learn out more to extend it even further. Yes, it's more stringent, but you can't learn out, it's halacha to be more severe than what you're learning out from. And the Adin Karen mi Regel, I'm learning out the Kavochemer of Karen and Rishus and Nizik from Regel in Rishus and Nizik, meaning, Uma b'makam shahokal ala shein v'ala regel b'shus and Rabim, if regarding shein and regel, that you were lenient regarding it in the public domain, where it's totally potter. Hechme b'keren. So these contrast. Let's contrast regel, shein regel, to Karen. Rishus HaRabim, shein regel is exempt. You are lenient. Regarding Karen, you are stringent. You have to be chatzin nezik. So were you stringent regarding Shein HaRegel in the Rishos HaNizig, where there is Nezig Shalim? It should be stringent on Karen. I'm learning a Karen not from Karen Rishos HaRabim, but Karen from Shein HaRegel. That if Karen if Shein HaRegel in Rishos HaRabim is Nezig Shalim, in Rishos HaNizig is Nezig Shalim, for sure Karen, which is more severe, as we proved from Rishos HaRabim, should be also Nezig Shalim in Rishos HaNizig. So again, Amrle, they said to him, no. Daya lovim in adin liz kenidin. You can't learn that more than what you're learning out from, because ultimately, that if not for Karen b'shus harabim, you wouldn't have the kavul chaimer. Because how are you proving that Karen's more severe than Shein HaRegel to prove that if Shein HaRegel is in rishus hanizik nazik shalom, Karen should also be? It's only because you proved from Karen b'shus harabim that it's more severe than Shein HaRegel and b'shus harabim. So therefore, then you want to say, but rishus hanizik, it should also be more severe. But since one of the variables, one of the elements that you need to utilize for your kal v'chaimer is from Karen b'shus harabim, so then again, you can't be more severe than when you're learning it out from, which ultimately includes Karen b'shus harabim, which is ma b'shus harabim chatzin nezik, just like Karen in the public domain is only chayv chatzin nezik, half the amount of damages, ab b'shus hanizik chatzin nezik, so in the private domain, in the b'shus hanizik, it's not going to be, as you're saying, b'shein regel nezik shalom, because where you're learning it out from is also through the medium of Karen b'shus harabim, which limits us as the principle of Dayei, which says that even though it's a kal v'chaimer, for sure Karen has to be more severe in the Rishos HaNizik than in the Rishos HaRabim, as we find b'Shein HaRegel, but it can't be more than what you're learning it out from, which is Karen b'Rishos HaRabim, which is going to be limited and capped at Chatzei Nezik, not as Nezik Shalom, as you're trying to say, even for Karen Tam, b'Rishos HaNizik.